Hey, welcome back, students, and those of you who've listened to the show before. I'm glad you're still with me. If this is the first time you're listening, thank you. I hope you'll be back. I'm D.A. Arliss, welcoming you to episode 106 of the Guitar Technique Tutor Podcast, recorded on June 14th, 2013, and brought to you by Raptor Picks USA. My goal as a guitarist and instructor with decades of experience is to raise the quality of my students and all guitarists' playing level and understanding. So here I am, doing my part to spread the excellence, one guitarist at a time. So how were your last couple of weeks? Mine were okay. We had a bit of extended family drama, but that's all settled and things are now on an even keel, and I really like it better that way. I usually record on Sunday or Monday, but this is Friday night. E-Rex is out of the apartment temporarily. He just called. He's on his way back. So I seized the relative quiet to record. I am hoping to get this audio up on iTunes by tomorrow. That's Saturday. We'll see. No, I didn't get to change my nylon DRs, so I didn't play my nylon string guitar too much over these past couple of weeks. This week that's coming is going to be way overscheduled, but I'm hoping to get fresh strings on her tooth suite anyway. Bridget and Shira are rocking their neon pink DRs, and I admire their good taste. As you know, I didn't get to the Les Paul 98th birthday gala bash event that took place last weekend, but one of our neighbors down the hall did. Diane and I saw Boris there last year, and this year he said it was excellent, the show was great. He didn't give me any details about the auctions. He didn't obviously bid on a guitar, or I'm sure if he had, he'd have bid up the price and purchased it. Boris is a very determined guy. He gets whatever he wants. I'll try to arrange my schedule next year to attend, and surely the year after, the 100th birthday bash is going to probably be quite a party. I didn't see Arno for his lesson this week. He was tied up with business, so I don't know if he went and if he bid and if he won anything. I imagine he'd have texted me if he did, so he probably didn't bid if he went. I have to take this opportunity to say so long for the summer to my students Aviv and Danielle. They are off to Israel and camp, respectively. Have a great time, ladies. I know you'll be playing while you're away. Enjoy your guitars and don't let them fall into the hands of guitar abusers. That's the biggest problem when you're away, whether you're with family or you're at camp or some other on vacation with other people. It's always tricky to be tactful and only let people who you know are going to treat your guitar the way you would play it. You have to learn those things, though. So I hope these girls are strong. Speaking of going away for the summer or for vacation, here's my annual, well, I'll call it a reminder. You who've been listening for a while may call it a rant. Here's the thing, if you are leaving your guitar home while you travel, whether it's summertime or not, be sure it's in a room in your home in which it will not be subjected to extreme heat nor extreme cold. If it's hot where you live, don't leave the guitar in a room that will get to 100 degrees or more. If you have to leave it in your home or apartment, be sure it's in the coolest possible place, like the basement. If you live in a frigid climate, be sure your guitar will be left in the warmest area. My real suggestion is to ask a friend to hold on to it for you until you come home. If it's in their dwelling, it will be appropriately cooled or heated for human occupancy, thereby keeping your guitar temperate and avoiding climate-caused damage. I mean, your guitar can really get ruined in a house that gets to 130 degrees. Likewise, in a house that gets 5 below 0, so, or even 20 degrees for that matter. So really consider, your guitar needs to be as comfortable as you are. And if you wouldn't leave a pet locked up in the house, because of what temperature it's going to be, don't leave your guitar there either. Also, if you're planning to fly with your guitar, and if you cannot bring it on board with you, which is the best option, loosen the strings at least a half turn, lock your case, and if possible, put the case into a large box that doesn't have anything other than fragile written on it. You can usually get boxes that contained guitar cases at guitar stores. They have nothing to do with those boxes. They don't need them. They don't want them. And the only thing is, if the box bears a guitar company's name, I would either Sharpie over it, paint over it, or stick contact paper over it, just so any baggage handler that's looking for a new guitar doesn't choose yours. That's the reason for the box. If it doesn't look like a guitar, it's going to be much less tempting to someone handling the baggage. This might be a good time to look into a travel guitar, too, which can definitely fit into the overhead storage on a plane. You know, that's a bit of a budget buster, and things are tight all around, I realize. But if you frequently travel, a travel guitar might really be a good thing for you, if when you travel you're able to play. You have 2 weeks to see the full Les Paul in Mahwah, a tribute exhibit at the Mahwah Museum in Mahwah, New Jersey. The museum will close for a couple of months over the summer, and when it reopens, the Les Paul permanent installation will be significantly smaller than what is now on display, and you're going to miss some great opportunities to see some historical treasures. So get over there if you can. While we're on the subject of Les Paul tributes, don't forget the stellar recording and documentary by Lou Palo, the rest of the Les Paul trio, and other admiring artists called Thank You Les. There are still beach towns at the Jersey Shore, and probably New York too, that are nowhere near restored since Superstorm Sandy. As I record, we're in day 228 of recovery. SandyNJReliefFund.org takes donated contributions, quickly gets them into the hands of approved contractors and community outreach organizations to help continue the process of recovery. So thank you in advance if you contribute, and thank you if you have already contributed to that cause. Our thoughts and hopes for a legion of volunteers to help the Oklahoma tornado victims continues. There's another opportunity for human kindness to cover a lot of sadness. This week, there are two students in the student spotlight. The question of the week is, why doesn't it sound right? The news is about the PRS parties, concerts, and fan days during the summer. I love PRS guitars. And Take Note is about Fender's Passport Mini Amp, which is perfect for playing on the deck, at the beach, in a park, or just for a practice amp. After a brief word from my sponsor, Raptor Picks USA, we'll move on to the student spotlight. Hey, did you read the great review of Raptor R-Series picks on the 5th Fret blog? You can read the whole thing for yourself, but here are a few comments it contains. Quote, it's a three-sided pick, but not equipped with three uniform edges like you would find on a standard gigantic three-sided pick. Instead, it offers three very different pick tones. But on a uniformly thick pick, instead of having three sides that taper to different thicknesses. The skinniest pick reminds me a lot of a stiletto and is meant to emulate a jazz pick. It's got a bright sound and a fast attack. The medium thickness is meant to sound like a standard teardrop pick. And the thickest is meant to be home for jazz players, not jazz-sized pick players, that want a big, boomy, warm kind of tone. As a bonus, it has this odd cut in the pick. It's confusing to look at, but the literature says that it's made to make pinch harmonics a breeze, and when you use it, it totally makes sense. That cut allows just a little bit of your thumb's flesh to peek through the pick, and as a result, you only need to turn your angle of attack a bit, and bam, pinch harmonics galore. And For one thing, the pick is very comfortable. Instead of covering it with non-skid or putting a bunch of holes in it, the pick features raised edges, and your thumb and finger fit comfortably in the middle or even more toward the edge, depending on which edge you're using, resulting in a stronger pick that undoubtedly has a longer lifespan than most other picks. And I also really like the different edges, not necessarily because of the tone, but because of the actual carve of the edges. The thinnest one, when you slide your finger down close to the edge, provides you with a minimum pick surface sliding across the strings, sliding silently across the strings, I might add, for shredding. And his conclusion? It's a well-engineered pick made with the players of almost any style in mind, and it's inexpensive at $475 and down based on how many you order. That's not a bad price at all for a boutique acrylic pick. At that cost, it wouldn't hurt you to pick one up and give it a try. Who knows? This could very well be your favorite pick. Raptor Picks USA thanks Pappy for the great review. You can read the whole thing at fifthfret.org. Genuine Raptor R-Series guitar picks are available at raptorpicksusa.com. Free Raptors with the purchase of four or more is just another way of spreading the excellence, one guitarist at a time. Raptor picks are a registered design. All rights are owned by Black Carbon. And now, let's move along to the student spotlight. In the warm glow of the student spotlight are Bridget, of course, and Mike. Bridget is remaining consistent and is tackling everything I throw at her and succeeding very well. You go, girl. She's really impressive. I'm thrilled with Bridget. Mike had been off for a few weeks due to business and some personal travel. And this is an uber busy guy who mainly ekes out some time to play on the weekends. I mean, this guy, I don't know, he really doesn't get enough sleep, never mind getting to his guitar. Well, since the last lesson we had, he has improved exceptionally. His lesson was by no means flawless, but there was tremendous improvement, and for that, he's earned student spotlight status. Nice work, guy. I hope you'll be able to at least maintain the amount of time you can spend with your guitar. I know you've got things going. I know there's a house reno coming, and I know it's summer and the kids are busier, but I really hope you can put in at least the minimal practice you have been. I'm looking forward to a threesome in the spotlight next time. Will I be disappointed, or will my hopes and expectations be met? Tune in next time to find out. Students, practice, and you'll be in the spotlight and this marvelously elite group of players. Now, let's move along to this week's question of the week. This week's question came from a student who wanted to know why, when they played a particular piece of music, it didn't sound like what they were used to hearing. Do you have a couple of days for the full answer? Even if you do, I don't. But here are my answers in a nutshell. First, he was playing an acoustic nylon string guitar, and what he was listening to was a solid body electric. One of which he has, by the way, as well as that he has a steel string acoustic and more guitars. So it's not even that he didn't have a comparable instrument. He just wasn't playing on one. He likes his nylon string guitar. It's a nice guitar. I don't blame him. If you're not using the same axe or at least the same type of axe, you're not going to sound like the artist whose music you're playing. Period. There's no discussion about that. Second, his speed was not close to the speed of the reference recording, and his rhythm was off, because for him, it's an effort to think of time and beats. He also isn't able to hear and, you know, feel complex rhythm, which is how a lot of musicians get over the obstacles of that that kind of complexity. If they can hear them and execute them accurately, the beat dissection that's necessary for a non-natural musician is unnecessary. So he's at a bit of a disadvantage where he can't really hear and feel what he's playing. So to somewhat approximate what he's hearing, he must count it. If you can't hear it, you've got to count it. I mean, I would hope that my students who can hear it also count it. We'll never know. I can't get right inside their brains as hard as I try to do that. Third, the music supplied to my student, not by me, by the way, was not in the same key as the recorded version. That's the first thing you can hear. If you hear what he's playing and you hear the recording, anyone with an ear can hear it's apples and oranges. Not only was it semi-transposed, this peculiar version that he was using, but it was altered beyond that, so the harmonies were very far off in some sections, but in other sections they were relatively right, but in the wrong key. So that was a recipe for no satisfaction whatsoever if what he was looking to do with that music was play what he was hearing. So if what's going to please you is to play some of your favorite artist's music, keep these things in mind. Use the most similar instrument you can, which is not to say you have to run out to buy a Les Paul if you have a Telecaster. Not that running out to buy a Les Paul is such a torturous thing or anything. But realize that if you're playing a steel or nylon string acoustic and you're trying to emulate music played on an electric guitar, especially if there's overdrive or flanger or anything else offered up through its amplification or some studio effect, you're not going to hear what you want. Next, you got to work on your chops. It's not magic. You're not going to get fast by hoping you'll get fast. You've got to play. And that includes your chops for speed and your chops as well for recognizing and being rhythmically articulate. You know, sloppy picking, sloppy timing is a recipe for disappointment if what you want to do is sound like a particular recording. Definitely have realistic expectations of yourself. You know what level you're playing at and if what you're working on is way beyond your ken or not. Play in the same key, tonality, and if you can, positions that most closely approximate what you're hearing. And I mean, sometimes an altered position's great. Sometimes playing in the same position is wonderful. But I need to take this opportunity to say, if what you're doing is playing from tabs, especially if they're shared tabs from sort of a tab sharing website as opposed to purchased, published music that has tabs in it. And I'm not a fan of tabs to begin with. But if it's that shared kind of tablature, you have no assurance that the positions the tab is giving you is correct. What you want to use is your judgment as to whether the positions the tab is indicating you play in, if it's reasonable and logical for the context of those passages. And next and lastly, practice, 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 and do so while listening to your object recording as well as to yourself. Those are the ways you can get what you play to sound more like the desired result if that is some cover and some recorded music. So I hope that helps you if you're suffering from the same thing my student is, which is unrequited performance. If you have a question that you'd like me to address on this podcast, please email it to me at guitartechnique@gmail.com. If I use your question, I will be glad to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. Now, let's move along to this week's news. In the news this week is a short list of some PRS events which all lead up to experience PRS in September. I had a couple of comments about the Taylor Roadshow segment asking if any other guitar makers did anything like it. Well, you be the judge. If you attend a Taylor Roadshow and one of the PRS Gear Heaven parties or concerts or Fan Day events, you can compare them. I can't tell you whether they're comparable, but here are a few upcoming PRS events, and perhaps one of them is in your area. On June 29th, PRS Gear Heaven Party and Concert will be at the Glen in Watkins Glen, New York. Come here and play all the latest PRS and DW gear. Hang out with our artists, talk with PRS and Guitar Center staff, tour the DW mobile music trailer packed with DW and PRS gear, jam out with PRS and DW on the mobile stage, take a paddock tour, meet Grand Am drivers, watch qualifiers and races, enjoy a complimentary Hazlitt wine tasting, maybe even win a prize or two. Includes a VIP backstage pass for the concert with Davy Knowles. The ticket gives you access to the track for the entire 6 hours of the Glen event weekend, so be sure to camp out or come back the next day to catch the Grand Am Rolex Sports Cars Series race. On July 25th, there will be a PRS Gear Heaven party and concert at the Hard Rock Cafe in Indianapolis, Indiana. Meet and greet artists, drivers, and celebrities. Tour the DW PRS mobile music trailer filled with PRS and DW gear. Play all the latest PRS guitar and DW gear in the Jackson Room. Hear some awesome product demonstrations, light fare compliments of the Hard Rock Cafe, and there's a concert featuring Davy Knowles and Lance Lopez, and there'll be prize drawings. August 3rd, PRS Fan Day at Guitar Center in Independence, Missouri. There'll be product demos, setups, PRS staff will be on hand for questions, race to the stage auditions, DW mobile music trailer packed with PRS and DW gear. September 14th, PRS Fan Day at Guitar Center in Manchester, Connecticut. Product demos, setups, PRS staff on hand for any questions, race to the stage auditions, DW mobile music trailer packed with PRS and DW gear. And then the culmination is September 20th and 21st, PRS Experience 2013. I'll have links to all of that up, but if any of these are in the area where you are, that's something you should really look into. Now, let's move on to this week's Take Notes segment. My take note topic this week is the Fender Passport Mini Amp. Hey, it's summertime. Portable is in. Portable amps have a lot of pros and cons, and honestly, I wasn't going to do this particular take note segment because I haven't personally played with a Passport Mini. But Acoustic Guitar Magazine will be reviewing it in the upcoming issue, and the short video review that they do have up on their website suggests that it's an amp you could consider if you're looking for something relatively inexpensive and portable. I'll link to the video in the show notes. Here's a bit about it. The Passport Mini offers convenient amplification for any instrument or microphone. It's perfect for performance by street musicians and students, as well as a basic public address system for events and presentations. It goes anywhere thanks to its dual AC or battery-powered capabilities. It can even be used as a music media playback system or computer recording interface. So here's a few of the details. Its MSRP is $199.99, but really street is around $150, and sometimes you can find it a little bit less. This is one of those things where if you go to the big box guitar stores and they're having a sale for a particular event, recently Father's Day, surely in the very near future, 4th of July, you know, if they have a 20% off everything over $99 or something like that, that really makes the reduced price, the street price, even better. And now you're really talking about a bargain for a cute, portable, reasonably priced amp. Now, as far as the controls on it, it has a vocal channel with volume, tone, and reverb level. And it has an instrument channel with volume, preset, effects, and tap tempo button. It's smaller than a 10-inch cube and weighs 7.25 pounds. So this is a small amp. And, you know, a student could tote it around. If you have back problems because you've been playing guitar all your life and not sitting well, you can pick this up and you're not going to hurt yourself. It has 1 6.5-inch full-range speaker with 8 ohms of impedance. It's 2 channels are instrument and microphone. The inputs are 2 quarter-inch inputs. And there's 1 auxiliary input, which is an 1/8 inch stereo. For a little amp, it has decent selection of effects. It has chorus, flanger, phaser, vibratone, vintage tremolo, slapback echo, small room reverb, Fender 65 spring reverb, stereo tape delay and room reverb, chorus and hall reverb, and vibratone room reverb. There are 2 line outs, which are speaker, and that's USB, and 1/8-inch headphone jack, which doubles as a speaker-emulated line out. This is a presentable little amp. I mean, it's perfectly fine. It doesn't look like it fell off a truck, but it's not a boutique model either. I mean, no one's going to mistake it for a little baby Marshall amp. Other features are that it uses a universal AC power supply, which is included, or 6 C batteries, instrument channel with 24 presets, built in from an 8-amp model, optimized for acoustic and electric guitars and other instruments, 12 effects, additional effects you can get free from Fender Fuse software, tap tempo button for adjusting delay, time, and modulation rate, separate vocal channel with XLR and 1/4-inch inputs and dedicated volume, tone, and reverb controls, auxiliary input for media player, digital chromatic tuner, metal handle doubles as a tilt-back stand, stereo headphone output for silent practice or line out, USB connection for Fender Fuse application and digital recording output, and USB cables included. It's a cute, lightweight amp for playing out or for practice. This is, you know, for the price and for the quality you're going to get, it's a very decent little amp. And if you're going to be playing out on your deck like Arno did a couple of weeks ago, he jammed with his New York band on his deck, something like this is really all you need. That wraps it up for this week's segments of episode 106. Following a short word from my sponsor, Raptor Picks USA, we'll move along to the outro and wrap this baby up. Once in a great while, something comes along that's literally revolutionary. The Raptor R-Series guitar pick is just such a creation. It affords its user a sublime quartet of sounds which can be summoned with the mere rotation of the brilliantly designed Raptor pick. Not only is it a beautifully executed, ingenious idea, but the very first experience of playing with it is almost impossible to describe because it's so different from anything you've ever employed before. Get past the unusual feel of the Raptor guitar pick and the door to faster, cleaner, and more creative playing swings wide open. Your grip will be sure, your attack will be silent, your projection will be enhanced. Add to that the technology that enables the pick to glide over your strings rather than bluntly striking them, and the genuine Raptor R-Series pick stands alone as an asset to every guitarist who uses one. Seasoned pro, this pick allows for more subtle differences of expression because of the variety of timbres it produces. Intermediate recreational guitarist, improve your sound by upgrading your pick. Rank beginner, prime your creativity right from the outset. Genuine Raptor R-Series guitar picks are available at raptorpicksusa.com. Free Raptors with the purchase of 4 or more is just another way of spreading the excellence one guitarist at a time. Raptor picks are a registered design. All rights are owned by Black Carbon. Thank you. Nice work, Bridget and Mike. I hope you have company next time in the spotlight. Be sure you're comparing apples to apples when you assess how you're playing covers. If you're in a different key or tuning, if your chops of any variety are not up to par, if you're not playing even the same type of guitar, you're going to be disappointed. Unless you're a fairly advanced guitarist, you're going to have to work on your music, so don't whine about it. Do what you need to do. Catch a cool PRS event at a venue near you this summer, and while you're at it, plan an autumn getaway to experience PRS 2013 in September. It's time to take your playing on the road. The Fender Passport Mini Amp may be just the amp for you. If you'd like to further assist Superstorm Sandy victims, Sandy NJ Relief Fund will put 100% of your contribution to excellent use. The recovery here is going to take years, and some communities still have condemned homes and unlivable conditions. Don't forget the Les Paul and Mahwah exhibit at the Mahwah Museum in Mahwah, New Jersey, which is open Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays just until the end of the month, and the marvelous tribute to Les Paul by Lou Palo, the trio, and other musical friends called Thank You Les. If you're not comfortable, your guitar isn't either, so don't leave your guitar in a cold car or basement or a hot car or attic. Humidify if your guitar lives in an environment in which there's less than 40% humidity. If you're going on vacation, for heaven's sakes, ask a friend to keep the guitar at their home until you return if you can. That's the safest thing you can do. Students and valued listeners, I want to thank you once again for your time and for joining me for episode 106 of the Guitar Technique Tutor Podcast. I hope you heard something thought-provoking, instructional, and/or entertaining. I will include links to anything I mentioned that I think you might like to explore further in the show notes, which are on the podcast page of my website and on the blog. All 2013 previous week's show notes now reside exclusively on the blog, and all previous podcast episode MP3 files can be found on the blog as well. Don't forget that my website is guitartechniquetutor.com, all spelled traditionally, which is GUITARTECHNIQUETUTOR.com, and that you can reach me by email at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please note there's no tutor in the email address. Don't hesitate to email me your questions for the Question of the Week segment. If I use it, I will be delighted to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. You can follow me on Twitter, where I'm Guitar Technique. I'm not a tweeting maniac, but I tweet to update anyone following me and retweet what I think is interesting. Admittedly, I've been a bit mentally burnt out since Erex's treatment, and I'm trying to get back to social media, which will also include Google+ when I get around to it. I think my reduced summer schedule is going to help, and it's going to be just the thing I need for refreshing my brain and getting me back to Facebook and Twitter and the blog and Google+ and that whole milieu. Thank you for your forbearance these last few months. It's been difficult, and we're coming to the upside, but my brain is still a little bit in a funk, so I appreciate your forbearance and loyalty. If you're seeking expert, competent guitar instruction in the Bergen and Rockland County towns in which I teach, such as Airmont, Allendale, Creskill, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glen Rock, Hawthorne, Hohokus, Hillburn, Mahwah, Midland Park, Montebello, Montvale, Oakland, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, the hamlet of Ramapo, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddle River, Suffern, Tallman, Teaneck, Tuxedo or Tuxedo Park, Upper Saddle River, Viola, Waldwick, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliff Lake, or Wyckoff, please contact me. For lesson inquiries, calling is best, and my number's on the website. If we can coordinate our schedules and you're a good candidate to learn to play the guitar, perhaps we can work together. Whether you are a beginner guitarist, a gigging pro, or any level in between, a genuine Raptor guitar pick will catapult your playing forward. Visit RaptorPicksUSA.com today to order yours. practice, and until next time, I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time. Happy Father's Day to all you dads.